Hello, and welcome to the inaugural podcast of The Adventures of the Superfisters, the comic book news and reviews feature on sfist.com, made possible by Isotope Comics. I'm Maddie Matt. I do the comic book reviews for sfist.com, and hopefully I'll continue to remember doing this podcast thing in coming weeks, and we'll actually get a good thing going here. Maybe eventually we'll get some theme music. For now, you'll just have to imagine. Anyway, let's get right to the comic reviews. This week we're doing American Virgin by Steven T. Siegel and Becky Cloonan, with a cover by Frank Quitely, who we always like. War of the Worlds Second Wave by Nelson Chi and Webb. I always love it when they only put their last names on the front of the book, so I don't know what their first names are. Nelson Chi and Webb. Maybe they have first names, maybe they don't. Maybe that's just one person. Nelson Chi Webb. Anyway, and we're also doing Douglas Rushkoff and Steph Dumais' new book, Club Zero G. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing the last name there. Dumais? I don't know. Maybe she's Canadian. He's Canadian. I'm sorry. Anyway, so let's start off with American Virgin, because I like that one the best. That's a great book about this religious preacher kind of guy. He's a college student, and he goes around the country talking about how you all need to save yourselves for marriage and that sort of thing. He starts to encounter these kind of tests to his faith. I thought it was going to be really one-dimensional, like, oh, these religious people, look at how wrong they are about everything. But it's actually pretty interesting. His mission is to convince America, basically, to stop being so promiscuous. And he's taking to the kids, and he's doing it kind of in a cheesy sort of way with, hey, look, I'm on an extreme bike. Woo, I'm so extreme. And that's a bit lame. But he's also a really well-balanced guy once you get to know him. He has an encounter with a woman of the night, I guess you would call her, and he feels this conflict between his raging desire to be promiscuous with her and also his devotion to God, which is ultimately what motivates him. But by the end of the book, he encounters a unexpected plot twist that will undoubtedly test him and question him, cause him to question himself even further. So, let me read from my review from Esvist. I wrote, people seem to take particular delight in rummaging through the emotional trash of those who project an image of purity, and Adam, the hero of this comic book, is no disappointment. He gets tons of love notes from fans, and although he declines to accept any of them, he saves every lipstick-kissed note. My favorite note that he saves starts with, if you ever go gay. Why would he save that? I mean, he seems ostentatiously, he seems straight, but he saved this note, which I think is interesting. Maybe he's gay, but I think what they're getting at is that he just really likes to be loved. And that's interesting. So Adam's drive threatens to burst from his seams at any moment, even as he ministers to a stripper he's panting and sweating and sprung. Only thoughts of eventual marriage to Cassie, his angelic girlfriend, keep him from going completely nuts, but she's been imperiled by a murderous band of rebels, and there ends part one. There's great dialogue in this book, very natural, none of this stilted stuff you get in a lot of books. Very complex characters, with the possible exception of his parents, who are kind of cookie cutouts. Cool evocative art, the really fantastic drawings in this, and really gripping story. I can't wait to see what happens next. And my favorite part, on the back cover is an ad for a DVD set of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. So, moving right along to Club Zero G, which, sadly, I'm not quite so enthusiastic about. I find it difficult to believe that clubs even exist. I've been to them, and they're so boring. Jesus. Anyway, so this book is all about clubs and club culture, and I think it's basically what Burning Man sees when he looks in the mirror. It's a bunch of kids who save the universe by throwing a dance party. Great. So let's read from my review for Esfist. I wrote, the story reminded me more than once of the second Matrix movie. You know that scene in the end where he finally encounters the guy who looks like Donald Sutherland in a room full of TVs, and you're like, what the hell is happening here? Well, there's moments in Club Zero G where the logic is so bizarre, and you're like, what are they talking about? How does this relate to anything? I don't think anybody really enjoys that kind of thing. Maybe they do. Who knows? Maybe if they're stoned. Anyway, the story is about a collegiate guy named Zeke who has dumb facial hair. That's about the only remarkable quality he has going for him. He has a vivid dream about the perfect nightclub. Woo. He's warned by the people there that he won't remember it when he wakes up, but he does. And his friends were there, and he finds a way for his friends to remember it too, and then they figure out that the nightclub is being put into their brains by these kids from the future who want to save the universe by throwing a dance club somehow. Anyway, we get involved with Foucault. I personally am a big fan of Foucault. He's one of my role models in that kind of Queenie, I'm so fabulous and I'm so smart, effete New York intellectual kind of way. Anyway, Foucault's thing is that our personal understanding, our own understanding of what's going on around us, is shaped by a agreement that we reach with each other and with society, and everyone together decides on the way that we understand our surroundings. An interesting idea, and it's certainly run into the ground in this book. The future is so symbolic that the evil army is called Consensus. Gee, do you think this might be a book about groupthink? Anyway, Consensus seeks to destroy the kids, the psychic misfit kids, and blah, 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 society, blah. The dialogue in here is really obvious. There's a line between two girls. One of the girls is just starting to realize that her life has been a sham up to this point, and she says about her sorority, "It just seems kind of stupid." The other girl says, "What does? The sorority?" And the first girl says, "Exclusivity. Kind of boring." The first girl says, "Boring? What else is there?" Oh, wow, that's really subtle dialogue. My favorite part is when a mentor of Zeke's tells him, "We have to agree on what's what in order to live together." And Zeke wonders to himself, "But what if the stuff we agreed on is wrong?" Yeah, he's basically trying to be Neo. Enough about that. I will rant further about the incredibly cowardly ending of this book next week if I have time. I really completely failed to fulfill any sort of story that was going on. I thought it was the worst possible ending, if you can even call it an ending. I did, on the other hand, really enjoy War of the Worlds Second Wave. That's the one by Nelson Chi Webb. Good old Nelson Chi Webb, what a guy. And it's set in the universe kind of between the two movies. It starts with the aliens coming to Earth and all that, and then they're felled by the microorganisms. And as all this is going on, we get to see a little story about this married couple, and the husband wants to protect the wife, but he's not very good at it, and, you know, explosions, crashing stuff, army guys, bombs falling, it's all very exciting. It's a good prologue to what I hope will be a really interesting series. It seems like after the first wave of aliens hit and then die, then we get a second wave, as suggested by the title, Second Wave. So the book ends with the husband guy, Miles, vowing to get revenge and to never be taken in again and all that kind of stuff. And it looks like he's going to get his chance with this second wave of aliens arriving to decimate us once again. Have they figured out how to defeat the microorganisms? What's their plan? Are they just going to ziplock themselves to avoid getting sick? Who knows? But it's a really interesting start to a story. And although it didn't totally grab me right off the bat, I hope it's going to get really interesting eventually. So, those are the three books for this week. War of the Worlds Second Wave, which I gave a tentative happy face to. I can't give it a thumbs up because those are copyrighted, you know. You can't give a thumbs up or else you'll be sued by Ebert. True story. Club Zero G, give a big frowny face to, and American Virgin, I give a big smiley face to with a rafflecopter. And so next week I'm going to be reviewing, who knows what, it's always a surprise. Until then, you should check out Isotope Comics' website. It's isotopecomics.com. They're doing this really cool new thing where they are multicasting bizarre, obscure, vintage films. They did a monster movie. It seemed like kind of it might be a derivative of Swamp Thing sort of thing. They're doing teen exploitation movies. Reminded me of Faster Pussycat Kill Kill, one of the greatest movies ever made. Looks like they got a really great lineup of movies planned. You can go to isotopecomics.com to see it. They are streaming the movies directly from YouTube, so it loads right away. It's in this nice little flash interface, and you can watch it at your leisure. And also check out Ezifus.com for more content about San Francisco and more of my articles about this and that. I've got an article about Muni going up later this week. Guess what? Looks like we're headed for more fare hikes and service cuts. Great! So anyway, that's the news this week, and hope you continue listening, and I hope I remember to continue posting. See you later. Bye.